Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
All right, before we start today's show, you should know that we have brand new jerseys and shorts available at podcastmerch.com. Maybe you guys saw the absolute slaying that we laid down on Matt and Shane's secret podcast in the basketball game. Maybe you didn't see it. Who knows? Whatever. You don't got to watch it. But either way,
I think actually they pulled it for some racial reason off of YouTube.
You guys can relive history and wear your either Big J. Okerson, Dave Smith, or Luis J. Gomez jersey and shorts. Limited time.
Get what you ever want. Doesn't matter. Both average 0 points in a season.
Shut the fuck up. You shut the fuck up, dude. We won.
Oh, yeah. No, we fucking slayed.
Get them during the month of April, and they're going to ship out on May 1st. All right, let's start the show.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
When you hear that bomb blast, get a shot glass. Listen to the podcast, it's all up in your bomb's ass. Big J kills them like O.J. Simpson. Acquit, hit the fabulous glove, don't fit. Get break quick by that big dick, Dave Smith. He all up in your ribs while he talking politics. Don't get bit when you rattle by that Puerto Rican snake. They natural born killers, legion of skanks.
Welcome to the club!
You look slim. He looks thin. Yeah, he looks a little slim.
They don't go much.
Me?
Yeah.
Back to intermittent fasting.
Are you really?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
What is it? What hours do you eat?
I'm just doing one big meal a day.
Yeah. That's it. Noon to midnight.
I live my life doing that. It's never worked.
I think you do it at the wrong time.
Probably.
But I don't.
It doesn't matter. You don't.
Really? So I thought you're not supposed to eat late at night.
So, yeah, that's like you're talking about the absolute like fittest level of human. That makes a big difference. Just like creatine. If you're like
For Jay,
creatine would mean nothing in his life.
What are you talking about, dude?
Jay's going for a gold medal.
So
I'm on testosterone now.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
So the reason. Yeah, they say, I mean, yes, your metabolism slows down at night. So it does technically make a difference, but not really. The reason that intermittent fasting works is because you're cutting your caloric intake like massively, like a massive, massive, massive way. Like you can really only eat so many calories. Your problem, Jay, and not now because you've actually lost a lot of weight. Like you're not, you know what I'm saying? You're probably not dropping weight regularly like that, but you're probably, you know, still technically losing weight slowly, right?
Yeah.
Because you're not eating a ton of calories, but it's the type of calories you eat, and you also do eat a lot of calories in that one meal, right? So you'll get one big, very shitty meal, right? That exceeds the 2,000 calorie count. For
sure, sure, sure.
So if
that's what I did my whole life. I don't do that quite as many.
No, you're not. But that was the problem. In the day, it would like literally you'd order two meals at the end of the night, and it would be 4,000 calories, and you're still eating substantially more calories than you're burning, so you're going to gain weight. That's just
I still remember the sadness. Dave, when me and you were walking up the stairs in my third floor apartment, and the McDonald's bag just broke. Remember, it was fries everywhere. How sad!
No, I don't remember this, but that sounds awful.
It was awful. A bag dropped, and all the McDonald's went all over the floor. Like, no.
Okay, but I did it. I do my new thing is, I take the stuff and I just put it in the garbage.
Here, guys, okay, I'm sorry, but like, I have.
We're going, dude.
We're talking, dude. We're
having a conversation,
you fucking
man. Yeah.
It's a natural conversation, man.
Big J. Okerson, Davey Smith, Luis J. Gomez.
Oh, my God. I didn't turn it on.
Okay. Yeah, I'm ready. That's normal Dave. You guys just got to see.
You guys got a little taste of normal Dave.
Indistinguishable, nice. Turns out.
Dave is not fun both on and off air.
Well, secret's out.
Everyone knows now.
Spend all these years letting people imagine I might be fun off air.
This guy. Know. I would like to jump into one of these things here because I thought yesterday, I went to bed last night thinking they never caught the Brooklyn
They didn't Subway until they, it must have been minutes ago. They must have caught
him. Just a few minutes ago they caught him.
Yeah, really? I last saw was yesterday, and they were like, they put out like a thing like, don't go between these 20 blocks in fucking Sunset Park there in Brooklyn. It's not that far from where I grew up.
That's right there. It's
don't worry, I'm not going to Sunset Park.
I'm not even going back to my old neighborhood that's near Sunset Park.
I still enjoy the movie Sunset Park though.
I was driving through Brooklyn yesterday.
Yeah, good film. Basketball flick.
Yeah.
And I was in a cool I wasn't even Brooklyn. I was in like South Street Seaport area, which is one of the most expensive areas probably in the world to live. Like Tribeca, South Street Seaport, those are like as crazy as expensive as it gets. Like we're talking about wild. And it looks like shit. Everything looks terrible. The buildings are fucking ugly. They're dirty. There's a cobblestone road, which is not good. I'm gonna roll my ankle.
Well, those buildings,
cobblestone streets.
Those buildings that have like the best views, even of the water, are project buildings.
They suck.
Yeah,
it's New York.
It's literally like, do you want to live near the projects on cobblestone roads, smelling the fucking dirtiest water known to man? We can get you a studio apartment for $25 million.
Yes.
If that's what you're looking for.
I'll tell you what, when I look at a place where it's like a high rent and I see the building and I see air conditioner units like in the window, I'm like, suck a dick, dude.
Well, that's crazy. I've never, until my current place, ever lived in a place with central air, because everything was in New York City, and that's like very rare. Like most of the buildings in New York City are pre-war buildings that like they can't. It's like crazy expensive to rig with central air. So you just, everyone has the window units, and it is so much better.
It's so much better.
It's unbelievable the difference in life to just be able to like.
Also, I mean, I'm clumsy as shit, dude. The amount of times that I have put in an air conditioner, I've never put in the things that hold it up behind it. I literally put the air conditioner in and then I take the window and I just go, gunk. The window holds it in place with some sort of like wedging gravity thing.
Stealing my AC and killing dogs in front of my house.
That's my joke on stage about titty fucking. I say you have to get your head out on the other side of the tits, and then you're locked in like the way you put an air conditioner in a window. It holds itself in place. It's always trying to fall out the window, but my window's blocking it.
Yes, yes. That's great. But I've never done the foam things to make sure that there's no air getting through. I've
stuffed a towel in there that's gotten disgusting.
Yeah,
it gets rough. I've done that before. Grimy. The foam things are much better.
The accordion things, I will put them on and spread them to the edge, and they don't really ever get the edge.
They never fit quite right.
And then they close a little bit. But I will try to do that slightly.
They're open on both sides. Like on both sides, there's air.
And then, by the way, and then also on those things, you see holes for screws. I'm like, screwing the metal. You mean to screw this thing into a metal windowsill?
I have to become a fucking metal shop worker in order to figure out how to install an air conditioner. It ain't,
I don't understand metallurgy.
Dude, is this what Metallica is? Dude, I found Metallica in the ninth grade.
I literally, when I see that, I'm like, there's no way this is ever done properly without fucking damaging the window. What are those screw holes for?
I mean, I guess there are wooden window frames very often.
Okay, no, fair, sure enough, but screwing, I don't know, just seems like a
New York
thing.
I mean, go to New York and get an apartment, like every apartment above a certain floor has to be equipped with prison bars on them, no matter how nice your apartment is. I have to have the ugliest cast iron prison bars because that's the law in New York.
Also, if you live in a pre-war building, this is one thing I really, really hated when I was in the East Village, is the outside of your window is as dirty as it was the first time it got dirty, like
when they built the building in 1912.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the same dust.
It's fucking insane. They do nothing for outside of windows in a fifth floor walk up building.
Yeah, what do you
do? No such thing.
They're not going to get that weird thing that they use on like skyscrapers. Like, it's a, what do they call them? Scaffolding trolleys.
I don't know. Those things are terrifying looking.
Oh, dude, I can't even imagine.
I've seen guys working like right out my window is another building. And I've seen guys when they were doing like putting up the siding on the building and watching these guys, they just have like a bungee cord attached to them and they're up there dicking around and fucking chatting and smoking a cigarette.
Giving each other wet willies.
I mean, I couldn't imagine dangling from a bungee cord from that thing. They'd have to, first of all, I'm never getting back up that bungee cord. So you're going to have to just, I'm going to have to be dangling the entire ride down.
Jay, that bungee cord metal hook at the end is going to slowly start bending on you.
Why do you keep saying like I'm that fat? That's not
can I say this?
Yeah.
It would bend on both of us. Dave would just be, wee.
I'd be having wee, fun. I'm bungeeing. It never stops bouncing.
It would bend on both of you guys, but slightly slower for Lewis because he's been intermittent fasting.
Me and Lewis were doing this weekend, and then you start seeing the fucking the metal tensions, like when it's metal and they go tling, 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 tling.
So what else, Bobby, about this Brooklyn Suspect? Bobby's into this. He's been posting, he's been putting new things in the chat about the Brooklyn Suspect, and we're just ignoring it.
And then first thing, I'm slowly starting to think Bobby is the Brooklyn Suspect.
First of all, there's a video of him insulting white people. Which,
yeah, this one is pretty funny. I think you guys could
get a piece of what this guy is.
You see that shit all day, every day. Yeah, fuck you too. You see that shit all day, every day. You know? You see that shit all day, every day. White motherfucker gonna slam the door, like, you know, trying to slam it in my face. Yeah, fuck you and your white ass too, you white mother, you racist motherfucker. They had to put that in for good luck. I don't get, listen. Yeah, white racist motherfucker.
Where is Anthony Cumia when you need him?
Hold on. Wait a minute. This guy hasn't, he's very concerned with racism.
Let's see this white bitch first.
Do fucking exist. Look at me, motherfucker, and they hate your guts too. Slant-eyed fucking piece of shit.
Well, I'll tell you this. Anthony Cumia was a better camera person.
He just called him a slant-eyed piece of shit.
Anthony Cumia is a better better cameraman and a better racist. This
dude, this guy versus Anthony Cumia in a one-time racist battle.
He goes, racist I photographer wish this, off.
Yeah, he goes, well, I'd like to think this guy could win something, but he's black. So.
let's say.
All that shit they do in Vietnam, they're not your fucking friend. They ain't your fucking friend, nigga. You're something less than human to them. You better get that in your fucking thick skull. Oh, I ain't not black.
Madame Tussauds. Okay, Madame Tussauds, you wax-making bitch motherfucker.
Yeah. Ripley's, believe it or not, this white bitch coming at me sideways.
Are we going to see, like, one white guy passing him by? He's like, oh, this guy talking shit, so do something about it then.
This guy's really going through 42nd Street, though. Hugh Jackman now starring in The Music Man. Oh, hell no.
Whoa, is that a life-size statue of the Hulk? That's pretty impressive.
This Gerard Carmichael's new special, Rothaniel, now available on HBO Max.
Oh, look at that. They turned the Laugh Factory into a sandwich shop.
Smash Burger, come on now.
That'd be crazy.
Racist ass.
I remember when 42nd Street used to be dangerous.
Look at this big white hand coming out of the wall.
What up, white ass hand, cracker ass hand?
White ass motherfucking hand grabbing up all my shit.
Oh, Applebee's. I want my baby back ribs. Okay, Applebee's, I see you.
You comes correct with that barbecue sauce.
Thinking, bitch.
He's roasting Times Square.
That's great, stank ass bitch.
Great idea. But that's the best idea fucking stinking spick could ever have. Whoa. Let's kill each other. Prove what to you? Motherfucker, you shouldn't even exist. Prove what to you? You shouldn't even be the fuck on earth. You're a crime against fucking nation. You're Spanish speaking motherfucker.
Is he just talking to himself?
The Spanish speaking motherfucker.
He's going on every race.
Dog, he's going on every race, dude. No one's
Lewis
safe.
Was so with this no guy until he turned on him.
No, I like it. I don't even mind it, dude. I'm not a hypocrite. No one's safe.
Lewis, real talk. Real talk. We shouldn't even exist.
Speaking of
so this guy is happening. What, Bobby, pause it for a second. When was this video taken? This is in New York. He's not from New York. He's from Wisconsin. He said he was driving to Philly. I saw another video. And then he drove to New York. So he's not from here, right? So this was within days or hours of the shooting.
Well, Frank, what are you doing tomorrow? I got to go yell at motherfucking races up in Times Square.
He goes outside of the UN building. You're not doing anything. Fucking
it's
UN.
It's unclear when this video is posted, but I do have like
it's every race inside. His head just explodes.
Oh man, what is this? How do you call this person? Looks like some sort of Indian African something.
Is this an Asian Russian person? How is that even possible, motherfucker?
Y'all got a glossary or something?
And a Chinese Russian.
Y'all got a playbill I can follow along and see where these motherfuckers from?
Right. I also have a compilation of, yeah, but I also have a compilation of like his manifesto that he also uploaded to YouTube.
Let's keep on watching this first, though. This is great. I like this a lot.
This is, I like, if people could start doing like vlog manifests, it's a lot more entertaining.
Yes, it really is. I want to hear your wacky voice saying it.
Oh, dude, what if I, somebody leaves a manifesto, I put it directly into text to voice. Let's have a robot woman read it to me.
You will.
Black people
all pay.
Are the problem with society.
You're
Obama.
All going to pay. You'll see. I am the Lord Jesus Christ, the second coming of
the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Now playing Stricken by Disturbed.
Wait, just kept reading.
To existence. What are you talking about? That goes to the fucking monkey ass motherfucking nigga too, talking that fucking shit. Build a nation, another fucking nation of Islam. I'm talking about a nation, a standalone nation, motherfucker. You a man? You a fucking failure as a fucking stinking human being. What the fucking spinking wetback motherfucker who had to depend on a white man for everything. White man didn't feed you, you starved to death. Fuck you. That fuck, I got
I always say, I always say, I wonder how many times this happened because I walked by, not this guy particularly, but.
No, I'm pretty sure I've seen this guy. My whole life in New York City was.
Yeah, but I'm saying like that guy. And I walk by, I've gotten to the New York point, I'm happy to say, but maybe it's not good, that I walk by this guy. I give him a little, I give him a wide berth for sure, but I just walk by and whoever I'm with, I just go, he's right, you know. I just make some kind of joke about like what's happening, not realizing you're with somebody, you're around somebody who's willing to do something so drastic.
Yeah, if
didn't
it makes sense.
He didn't kill
being
anybody,
this,
right?
Being this crazy did,
well,
and loud
did,
in
did
the
nobody
street,
die? 20 people were shot, right?
Yeah.
I just heard the shot. I didn't hear any number on deaths. But if it's weird, being this loud and crazy in the streets almost makes me think there's no way he'd be that guy.
Yeah.
In some weird way. Like, I picture the guy who would actually do that being, like, the quiet, crazy type.
Yeah, it's like home,
and this guy, you almost go like, oh, no, he's just, yeah, this guy's just fucking, he's loud.
He's a loud
crazy.
Mouth. That's the way black people are. They like to talk a big game.
He goes, that guy, he's a senator.
You see some like liberals on Twitter being like, yeah, dude, the fucking police could fucking move all the homeless people off the street, but they can't find this guy.
That's what I'm saying. It's like the fucking, you know, this guy, it didn't seem like the guy was going to put together like a, the movie Heat fucking plan. Throwing
he is a pretty big guy to not be able to find for 2 days.
Pretty crazy.
Do they check on top of the Empire State Building?
I think he was like 5'5", someone said.
Is he 5'5"? No, he's a big dude. He looks huge.
Sounds big.
Yesterday they said he was.
No, he's 5'5". He's short.
You think somebody on the street would have turned around and been like, shut up, dude.
Calm down.
Shut up. You're tiny.
Yeah,
he's also 63 years old.
He's an old man.
His voice does not lead you to believe 5'5", 63.
I thought 6'4". 6'4", black guy.
6'4", 25.
He looks like Rock. You remember Rock?
Oh, yeah.
Not
Charles,
the Rock.
Charles S. Dutton.
Yeah, yeah. He looks like Rock.
Don't try to sell drugs in his neighborhood.
There he is, Rock. Told you.
He's like the guy who yells about the Eagles.
This is a compilation of like his manifesto if you want to skim through it a little bit.
Please.
This Prophet True Channel, but I am the Prophet of Doom. That's my original name, the Prophet of Doom.
Your mother named you that?
That's what I call myself since I've been on YouTube. What do you think that? What do you think that's a... So what do you want from me? Doomsday is actually about to be here. We're actually about to experience Doomsday.
Is that why you live in a hotel?
You want to watch and listen to Prophet of Doom. I'm not mad at you one bit.
Wow. You know, it's funny. He's credit carding this with no belief he was going to pay for this room.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
I think you'd get a nicer room.
That's, I would say it's not a terrible room. I mean, I can tell by the bed, 4 pillows. Now they're treating you all right there.
Yeah, it's not great.
It's not great. Either way, he ain't paying for it. I'm also looking at the land.
Is that New York? Because here's the problem with everything in New York, dude.
In New York, that's an amazing room.
Every hotel you go to in New York, you're like, dude, this is a $700 a night hotel. I'm staying at the Mondrian. This is going to be wild. And you go in and you can touch every wall.
Yeah.
And it's just like nice fixtures. I'm like, what am I fucking paying for?
I put my parents up at the Standard before, and like their room was like, I felt insultingly small, and it's their Standard room.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. I specifically went to the Mondrian because when I was working for Equinox, they had like a deal where like for employees, like and like members, like a night at the Mondrian for pretty cheap. So like me and Beatrice stayed there.
Yeah,
Beatrice.
Me.
Come on, dude.
Jay, did you tell everyone that I cried to you?
No.
Fucking faggot, liar, bitch.
You didn't even tell me that Lewis cried to you.
No.
And we talked.
I'm kidding.
We had a moment.
I didn't cry. I would never cry.
You didn't have a moment. Lewis
something
cries
was in
everyone.
My eye. Something was in my eye.
Something was in Lewis's eye, and that made him cry.
That made me wail like a baby.
Yeah. Oh,
things in my eye.
Oh, it burns.
My eye.
Stupid. Here I go. I was having.
I just feel like I was having the perfect day, and then get a thing in my eye. The whole day.
My contact is dusty.
Stupid debris. Keep playing his thing, his manifesto.
Talk about it because it has to be talked about. We need to know why we're going to die. We need to know why we're going to be destroyed.
I want you to delude yourself and tell yourself this punk-ass bullshit about that could never happen here. That could never happen here. Those are famous last words.
I do agree with that.
That could never happen here.
You know, also the media was trying to say that he was like racist against black people. They really tried to turn him into like a white supremacist anyway, even though he's a crazy person who's racist against everybody.
Yeah.
Dude, that's by the way, it is literally an analogy for the podcast. We're not racist against black people. We're racist against everybody.
Everybody gets some, even you lily whites.
Dude, it's the funniest thing when like, when there's
don't
like,
be too white either.
When there's a shooting and everyone's waiting for the like the race of the person who did it to find out, like you literally can see there'll be like a shooting like at a synagogue and like everyone at like MSNBC is like, oh, this is because of Trump. It's led to all this hate for Jews and blah, blah, blah. And then they're like, and the shooter was a Muslim. And Fox News is like, get it rolling. He's Muslim. We're back here. So this is why we got to stop the terrorists and everything. Like they're all so excited about what the race is. Cause then they get to like fucking,
I mean, this is genuinely just a crazy person.
That's yeah. I don't know what this guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a fucking loon, right? So whether he had a gun or a car or a fucking whatever, there's no real agenda.
Who cares? Who cares what person, crazy thing he hollered right before he started shooting people? Yeah, he's crazy. It doesn't matter. Yeah,
he hears voices. He's a fucking absolute lunatic. This is not about any.
No, for sure.
Looking for the why and like looking for like the political angle or the.
No. There's no why. This guy wasn't a creation
it's
of
a
any
fucking
kind of
crazy
system.
Person. It's not about gun control.
It's probably like fucking. Probably had a chemical imbalance. Had a fucking crazy. Life and that all came together to be this.
Probably.
Although he does the whole it could happen here thing is a pretty good point.
But he goes up, but his thing though, I say I'm the bringer of doom. Doomsday is coming. Like you think he would, and by the way, no disrespect to he definitely fucking hurt people's lives. I hope there's no death still or anything, but like what do you thought Doomsday was going to be? Like 20 injured people? It's a light Doomsday.
Yeah, the rest of us will continue to march forward.
Yeah.
Also, how bad is his shot that he couldn't even kill one person, but he hit 20 of them? Like he's just shoulders, knees.
Yeah.
It's just fucking center mass, motherfucker. Let's go.
Yeah, he proves two things. One, black don't crack. And two, the even mass shootings they try to do with their arms turned sideways.
Yeah, dude, they try to do a sideways shooting. It's like, bah, 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 bah.
Oh, man, I was expecting so much kick on this motherfucker.
According to the AP, 13 people were injured, including 5 people shot. So he only shot 5 people. Everybody else
really?
Was injured, trampled.
Trampled, people running.
And didn't he have, wasn't there like smoke bombs or something like that also?
Yeah,
and then there was some explosives that weren't detonated or something.
Yeah.
Smoke, it's hilarious. Like just a child's fireworks.
Well, I said I was on Bonfire yesterday. When I asked
he lit one
had,
of those snake things.
Yeah. I said this yesterday, but it's true. Like, man, once you release that smoke bomb, it's happening. Like, you're going. You know what I mean? Like, it's got to be what a moment.
In, like, in Joker movie, isn't that how it happened? Like a smoke bomb on the subway? Instead of shooting people up?
Yes.
Was that a
smoke bomb? Yeah. I remember the initial thing when he beat the guys up. Or he killed the guys on the subway. But, yeah, that makes sense. A smoke bomb. But, I mean, a smoke bomb is a fucking... If I was in a subway car and someone threw a smoke bomb, like... That would probably be my highest panic situation, because you just know where to go and you don't know what you're even looking for to stop from happening. Do you know what I mean? You can't even like defend yourself in any way. It's so like,
I would try to freak him out, and I'd try to be the person coming out of the smoke shadows.
Yeah. Or you do this. Yeah. Because I would try to like snort it all up my nose and then Goldberg in front of him.
No, I would immediately, if smoke bomb went off and I'm on the subway, immediately grab the roof, go up to the roof like you're Spider-Man and hold on. So then totally. He's walking underneath you, right? Smoke clears a little bit. You drop down on top.
Lewis would try to do that. He'd slip, fall, and die on the ground.
He goes, get off my back now. I'm 63, you hear? Ooh, my sciatica. You son bitch.
Keep playing his manifesto. What else? I mean, it is just sort of nonsense. There's not really much juicy here. Juicy Smollett.
Pretty juicy. Juicy Smollett.
Sorry, hold on.
Is this guy going to be the tournament of suck?
Oh, probably, yeah.
He should be, right? Jussie Smollett's in the tournament of suck. Nicole Arbour has to be in the tournament of suck.
Yeah, for sure. I actually I got an email from your sister begging me to. Yeah,
my sister
on.
Was very, very upset that she wasn't in the tournament of suck.
That Lewis's sister isn't in there?
No, Nicole Arbour. My sister trolls Nicole Arbour regularly.
Really?
Yeah. She like bizarre. Hates Nicole Arbour. Like, and she like as an adult goes onto her page regularly and trolls her.
Great.
Slightly strange.
Yeah.
To go back crazy. To his manifesto.
My sister would if Nicole Arbour showed up, my sister would beat her up.
Nice.
That's how the Gomez's are.
I don't mind that.
Okay, I respect her.
Yeah, she's a fucking crazy Gomez. We talk if my sister saw Nicole Arbour in the mall, she'd go up to her and be like, "What's up now, Nicole Arbour?"
All right, Nicole, it's on site with and fucking Genesee.
Nicole's in pretty good shape, so I don't know that it's a foregone conclusion that Genesee wins that fight.
But if she does, if Genesee does win, it's going to be in the funniest like way.
A warning, it's a
domination of like someone bigger to smaller.
Well, a warning to Nicole Arbour: if you bloody Genesee up, she'll probably just wipe it on your couch.
Yeah, no, she comes alive when she starts bleeding.
Yeah, that's it. You better don't even try not to cause any fucking break skin damage. She goes like Van Damme. She sees that blood.
Like, well, it's like Bruce Lee. She goes, whoa.
Yeah. It's just, she tastes it. And then she shows it to them. This is what started the end of your life.
That's what she does every time she has her period, actually. She's like, whoa.
My uterus is falling out. The lining, at least. Play that funky music.
And it will. And if they try to exterminate us, I would not be mad at them one bit, because and that's the you are, refuses to understand.
Oh my God, stop editing. What is this? The first 10 minutes of a Gas Digital podcast?
I have a serious problem that you have not dealt with since they so-called set you free, and they didn't set you free. They turned you loose. You cannot set free a domesticated animal. You can only turn it loose. And that's what was done to you. And your refusal to understand that means the death of your children. Means their early exit off this planet.
What? Pause this. Was this on a YouTube channel?
Sorry. Yeah, he uploaded this to YouTube. They have since removed all his videos.
Did he have a following at all on YouTube or no?
I don't know. I wasn't able to like catch his channel before it was gone.
Probably not, because you assume somebody would have reported it, right? But
you'd be surprised.
This is going to be YouTube. I guarantee you this is going to lead them to putting even more like
restrictions.
Yeah, just more technology into like catch certain words. And if you say certain things, so now we can't even joke about committing mass murders.
Or saying that black people weren't freed, they were let loose. That's a, and from a comedic standpoint, that's a funny sentence.
It's pretty funny.
Black people weren't freed; they were let loose.
I feel like you could. I guess you can't free a domesticated animal. That's a great point. It's not actually a terrible way. It kind of made you think. I mean, look. Well, yeah, the analogy is sound. I'm not saying that.
I'm not saying it applies.
I'm not saying he's 100% right.
It doesn't apply. But it makes it's a great thing.
It's a great analogy.
Yes.
Look, he should have gotten a job writing.
Yeah. Dude, you wasted your talents manifestoing.
Yeah, we know he's a good writer. He's a public speaker. He does man on the street stuff.
Manifesto on the street.
But I mean,
we should compare manifestos.
The worst shot.
See who has the best manifesto out of all manifestos.
Of why we're getting ready to do something drastic.
Was that me? Did I bail?
Just the one that inspires you the most. You know, because this one, honestly, he's talking some shit. I'm like, all right, doggy, I get it. I get what you're saying. If he wasn't saying to kill people, he was saying like, because it also reads like a self-help book. If it instead of, what happened to Dave?
He's froze. He'll be back.
Yeah, I think he froze up.
But it reads like a self-help book. If the idea is you're applying what he's saying to like going and attacking the day or getting a new job. Mm-hmm. But if it's about murdering everyone, it sucks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he's got misdirected great ideas.
Yeah, dude, great idea guy.
Big idea guy. And it says they caught him right near the studio. They caught him in the city.
Yeah, on the Lower East Side. I have a video of that as well.
Here they have a video of him catching him?
Yes. Well, he's in handcuffs.
Bobby, cut to King Kong on the Empire State Building. What are you doing?
Fuck. I'm sorry.
You're an asshole. I'm making an edit.
I'm too literal. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I like this. What is this? Let's say he's in handcuffs.
Yeah, this is right by, I think this is right by your old place, Jay, no?
Is this a picture or is this a...
No, where this is.
No,
it's look up the address of East Village Wines. We'll know exactly where it's at.
Alex, look that up.
That's a fucking big catch.
I should have kept my... Oh, yeah, to be a part of that. They're so amped.
Well, I'm just trying to buy some kvassia.
I'm going to ride them back. Yeah. Oh, what's happening? Brother can't shoot up the subway and go buy some kvassia? Y'all don't like cognac? Look at them go. They're so slick. It would be funny if someone came over now to some hipster and was just like, guys, I need my bike.
It's over on First Avenue.
And what? Alex didn't even fuck it. You knew what the next question was going to be.
Yeah, it's giving me the actual street address.
Yeah, look it up on a map. Jesus Christ, Alex. Where'd Dave go?
Fuck is Dave.
Want to do plugs now that we do have a minute to break and Dave can come back and do his last?
Yeah, sure.
It's between 8th and 9th.
Pretty close. Damn, pretty damn close to the studio. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit. That's right by Kiku, my favorite all-you-can-eat sushi place.
That's right. By the way, that's really close to our... What's the address?
First
Avenue.
151 First Avenue is the listed address for Gas Digital. Yeah. 151 First Avenue. That's our mailbox, like our P.O. box. 151 First Avenue, number 311. If you guys want to send us gifts or fun stuff, New York, New York, 10003.
And now it's it, where it's, were the it's no, where were the no need for where were the no need for apology guys while all this was going down?
It's basically on the block. Our guys could have been picking up mail for us whilst that man was being arrested.
That'd have been awesome.
Dude, if I would have seen him, how cool if I would have taken him down and I was the guy that caught him. Oh, I was so close.
My God. That means it's the 9th precinct, which means I've been in an argument with several of those cops that were grabbing that guy.
Yeah, they're not going to be cool.
Yeah, they're not going to be cool. You can't watch because you're mean to us. You cop.
All right, let's do some plugs.
You want me to go first?
Dave's internet went down. That's what he just told me.
You know, it's not down. BigJComedy.com. It's going.
Hell yeah.
I am everywhere. so many fun things going on. First, actually, I should say before anything, big congratulations to Lewis and, of course, Christine and Rebecca. The three of them sold out.
And yourself, please. Without you, it's not possible, my friend.
But I mean, Skankfest sold out again in record time.
I mean, faster than we could have imagined. 2 minutes for the all access passes.
It was unbelievable. Unbelievable what happened to see that happen. So proud of you guys. But I'm going to be at so many festivals coming up. I will be this weekend, if you're listening. Tomorrow, there's still shows at Bananas. In Rutherford, New Jersey.
Looks like I can come by and do guest spots on those if you want me.
Please, dude. Please, yeah, come hang.
Yeah, I will. I literally will. I have nothing else.
Yeah, please come any of the nights or both even. It's all friends there. It's going to be Justin Silver and Dylan. Dylan's going to be hosting. So
literally 8 minutes from my house.
Please get there. I want you there. You were supposed to be away this weekend. But and then starting on Monday, we're doing the Bonfire live from Nashville, but I'm going to be doing the Kid Rock Comedy Jam. Shane Gillis also on that show. Donnell Rawlings. It's going to be a really fun one. And then the Comedy Jam afterwards at Kid Rock's Bar. That Wednesday, I'll be doing Ari's Storytelling Show at the Ryman Auditorium as well. It's part of the Nashville Festival. And then Thursday, right over to Moon Tower Comedy Festival, where I'll be doing The Worst. We're doing the Bonfire live. I'll be doing a bunch of sets, comedy jams there. It's going to be a fun couple weeks. And then Netflix is a Joke Festival the weekend after that in Los Angeles. I'll be doing a Worst and a headline date. And then after that, back on the road for the weekends. I'll be giving those updates soon. But for right now, come fill up Hollywood, California. It's been a while. So let's fill up that improv show Friday night, August 20-something. But you can find it online. BigJComedy.com. Of course, the SDR show right here on the Gas Digital Network and Bonfire 5 days a week. Faction Talk, Sirius XM 103.
Live stuff coming up next weekend, the 22nd of April. I'll be with the great Zach Amico and Ian Fidance at Stress Factory in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Two shows, one night. And then the following weekend, I will be at Chicago Zanies, one night only. I think that's actually the Thursday, the 28th. Come out to Chicago Zanies. That's going to be a ton of fun. Lots of other stuff coming up, including Providence Comedy Connection. All throughout this summer, I'm going to be doing a ton of stuff. I'm going all over California, Texas, all over the country, all over Canada as well. Me and Aaron Berg just announced that we're doing a tour together called the Offend Everyone Tour. Myself and Aaron Berg, two bald fucking dickheads, and we're gonna have a blast. I promise you guys, it's gonna be really dirty. Aaron's filthy and he's a fucking monster. He's so funny. So look out for that. We're announcing dates for that all over the place starting in July. I think we're kicking it off at the Creek in the Cave down in Austin on July 4th weekend. So lots more stuff coming up as well. Go to lewisofskanks.com to grab tickets for all those shows and more. Subscribe to my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/PR Rattlesnake. Subscribe to Gas Digital. If you guys love this show, you guys can go and listen to every show that we've ever done, all ad-free, uncensored, and in one place. I know a lot of people complain about the censoring for YouTube. Well, guess what? You don't have to listen to it censored. You can get it at gasdigitalnetwork.com, and you guys can, you can go to the entire on-demand library for free if you want. So use that promo code LOS. Save $1.50 a month as well if you decide to keep the membership. Skankfest passes are sold out. However, keep listening to this show. Subscribe to Gas Digital. Support Yo Kratom. Support fucking Real Ass Podcast. Support all these shows that we're on, because I promise you, we've put a bunch of tickets aside for giveaways, special fucking things. We're going to have contests. We're going to be doing tons of stuff. I've already given away a ton of passes on my Twitch stream. Please, by all means, keep
tuning. I've given them out to anyone who asks.
No, please don't say that, Jay.
Oh, no. I didn't mean that.
Make sure you guys do that, because if you want to go to Skankfest, where there's a will, there's a way. Okay, if you want to go, I promise you right now, there's going to be many opportunities to either win or get them by chance. And
what are you willing to do?
Sorry, I stepped out for a second. You guys were boring the shit out of me.
No problem. I'm gonna make a coffee while Dave does his plugs, and we'll come back in. Is that okay?
Dave plugs.
I'm gonna need you to stick around for my plugs. Thursday, hold on, let me check the date. I believe it's the 25th, but let me make sure I don't fuck that up. In Reno, nope, see, good thing I checked. It is the 26th. Thursday the 26th in Reno, one night only live stand-up show and a live Part of the Problem podcast. Got Robbie the Fire Bernstein with me for both of those shows. It's these shows are both going to sell out. They're selling faster than I thought they would. So if you want tickets, go get them now. I'll tweet out the links for those again soon. But it's at the Alpine, I believe, is the name of the little theater there. And go check that out. Then I'll be in Chicago in April, also with Robbie the Fire Bernstein, two stand-up shows and a live Part of the Problem podcast. And looks like I'm going to be back up at Pork Fest this year. Not 100% sure about that one yet. I got some more stuff that'll I'll let you know about soon coming up for April there. But yeah, Part of the Problem, Yo MMA Rap, all here at GasDigitalNetwork.com. Yeah, sorry, my internet went out there. I had to reset the box. Should be good though.
Oh yeah. So did we ever talk about TI getting to a that
we did not with? I did see part of this video. I did not understand the context of it though.
Which thing?
the new comedian? One where he argued with a chick. Did you see it?
That's not the newest. The newest thing is him eating it at the Barclays Center.
Ooh, but, wow. Does he ever stop? What is going? T.I. is becoming the new.
Well, here's the thing. I've looked into this pretty good.
When you go at Godfrey, your life is a dramatic mess afterward.
Well, that's almost a thing. He comes from a world of rap, and his very beginning of doing comedy, like, he was sort of saying the right stuff. And even in his initial comment to Godfrey's thing is, I didn't think it was terrible. And then it did get terrible in his argument. But, you know, his argument was he didn't know the kind of the rules of comedy or anything. But again, if it makes sense, Dave, you could almost understand what I'm saying here, that I don't understand what everything's so, he's got rap. He still has rap, is all in him.
Sorry,
so
was me moving around distracting you, Jack?
Yeah, it was very much.
If I dropped the top of my, the topper to my palm. Yeah.
No, I'm saying.
But I kept the headphones on, and I just realized how distracting
I'm just stoned, and I'm just going.
I watched you watching me get up and go around the table. Yeah.
Everything. Hypnotized by it. No, he's got too much rap energy to it, even to the idea that I don't know if you could be a great comic with as short a time as he's been doing comedy. Forget going on after Godfrey and that being rude or not. Who gives a shit? The fact that you,
what was the argument?
At that point in comedy, in most people's life in comedy, when they're doing comedy, if somebody was like, hey, you want to go on after the headliner? Forget the respect level. You'd be like, no. You know what I mean? I'm not going to do nearly as good as them. It's going to be weird. The energy's going to change. You know what I mean? He was the fact that he was I don't think it's his fault he went on after Godfrey, other than going I'll go on after Godfrey.
He didn't know.
Huh?
He didn't know.
I know he didn't know.
From his perspective, my assumption is, and I don't know because I didn't listen to the interview, but he probably didn't know who Godfrey was, right?
So no, he did. He did.
He knew who Godfrey was.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe he's saying he did now, maybe. But regardless, even if he didn't or did, in his world, you're never going to be able to convince him that he's not the headliner. So it wasn't even a thought of in comedy, you'd respect the guy who just did 45 minutes and you wouldn't go up after him. It's no, I'm fucking world famous. I
know
that.
I know he doesn't know. I'm talking about on a comedic level, though, to be he wasn't going to go up there and if he was going to go up there and do two
Jay's
songs after Godfrey,
a good comedian
murder.
At that time would probably be concerned. They'd have some awareness of where they're at with their strength of comedy to be ah, shit, this is I don't want to follow the headliner. This is going to be
Godfrey's
weird.
Also but a particularly good stand-up comedian.
Yeah, Godfrey is also, which is true.
He's a tough follow.
Godfrey is probably one of the toughest follows in stand-up. There's a lot of great comics, but there's really not that many murderers. People who just very consistently destroy
just
and Godfrey Godfrey just he kills crowds, and so of all the headliners to go, he's probably one of the more difficult.
When you go to the Cellar, there's certain guys who typically close. You are one of them, Big J. Godfrey's one of them. Just people who hit hard, and they, you know, it's not even a disappointment.
Greer Barnes was that kind of a killer.
Here's the thing: I would understand, and this is for any of you guys. If somebody's preference, was Sam Morrell over you guys, right? And they were like, oh, I just like that style of comedy, the very joke
preference.
I wouldn't be like, oh my god, you're fucking blowing my mind. But they wouldn't have Sam Morrell close over any of you guys because he's not going to hit as hard as you guys. And the majority of people in the crowd, they're not thinking of it like that. Oh, I really respect this. They just want to fucking be entertained, and you guys hit on fucking level. So most of the time, and I booked shows for years, if I have Godfrey on a lineup, he's closing that lineup every single time.
Yeah, he has to.
Yeah, so, but I also do think there is a lot of truth to Lewis's point that I remember, dude, I remember back, remember when John Mayer was going to the Cellar pretty regularly and doing stand-up? And there'd be open mic comics who are oh, that's bullshit. He just gets into the Cellar. I'm working to get past there. And you're dude, it's John Mayer. He's not going to go with you to the open mic. I don't know. If he's going to perform, he's going to perform at the biggest club there. It's just,
Dave,
so I do also
point,
understand that aspect of it. Just being yeah, but I'm famous. So that's
but
enough.
Also
of
the
Cellar cool
shouldn't
thing.
Have let John Mayer perform, to be honest with you, if the Cellar truly genuinely respected
the
stand-up comedy.
Yeah. Well,
I agree with that too, but John Mayer, whatever. And he wanted to try it. And he was for a while, jumping in and trying to do it. I understand the celebrity like leapfrog over a some level of thing. I'm not even arguing that with T.I. I'm saying T.I., his comedy, he's just coming from like hip hop on every level of it. So when he goes to open mics, what's the thing he has with the video that he has with the girl that he's arguing with, which is pretty wacky also. He's like being a problem to the show.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're already going to draw it. It's like he would be getting so much better if he had the humility of just walking in and being like, man, just I'm laying back here, man. I just want to do my
stuff. Well, with that girl in Atlanta, they have so little respect for stand-up comedy in this fucking, like, whatever hood room that this open mic's in.
Yeah.
That T.I. called for another microphone. It's the person who's that he's talking over. It's her open mic. And the DJ just gave him a microphone. Yeah, the DJ just gave him a microphone and was like, all right.
That is pretty funny. He's like, but he's just like, I mean, I'm a DJ and it's fucking T.I., dude. Like, I want to get
handing him the goddamn mic. No, so he puts everyone in that position. He really interrupts her show. He jumps and sits on the stage in the middle of her set and does. And then he even does a weird, like,
well, he does the weird thing her. Was when that was the weird thing where he went over. I mean, obviously, all of this is weird, but the real line crosser there was he like kind of goes up what seems to be kind of like doing some like thuggy, intimidating thing.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for
like
sure.
To her, it's like, ooh, that's weird. And then he that's took weird the mic to from her
where it's like,
snatched, you know,
and not for nothing, good for this chick. First of all, I thought it was a gay dude the whole time. The whole time I'm watching, I'm like, dude, this gay guy's fucking badass, dude.
First, I thought it was just a dude. Then I thought it was a gay dude. All the while, I thought the hair was a towel under a hat.
I thought it was a gay dude. Literally, the whole time I watched it, up until after, I watched it two more times, and I was a fan of this gay dude. Then I found out it was a chick, and I was even more of a fan.
I'll tell you what, though. The most frustrating thing about this, like when you're watching it, though, is if you are trying to have like a back and forth like words thing, and when T.I. was explaining himself and she starts doing like just like shimmy dances behind him while he's talking, is such a hilarious, it's such a World Star Hip Hop video thing. Yeah. You're like, what are you doing? Also,
she doesn't know because she's an open mic comic from Atlanta. She doesn't, you know, very, you know, people give shit for Chris Rock for reacting the way that he did. Chris Rock's a fucking 50-year vet or whatever the fuck he is, right? Like, she's
40.
You know, she's like awkwardly reacting. Like, how you don't, sometimes you're just not prepared, even on the highest level, for some fucking crazy fuckery to happen, sure. Right? So I don't really fault her for just trying to do something funny and just trying, like, you know.
I'm not mad at her for doing that at all. I'm saying if I was arguing with somebody and that's what they were doing when I was talking, it would make me irate.
All right, guys, let's take a second and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is, of course, Yo Kratom, the home of the $60 kilo, the best place to go to get Kratom, if Kratom's your thing.
And definitely go to Yo Kratom. All things Gas Digital, too.
Yeah, they're the marquee sponsor of Skankfest. Yeah, they sponsor our show. They're really like the biggest supporter of our brand of, like, you know, free speech and free comedy and all of that stuff. And we wouldn't be able to do what we do without companies like Yo Kratom.
And they're the best Kratom. Wholesale prices delivered right to you. Lab tested, high quality Kratom. It's comes available in kilos. I can't stress enough how rad that is. I'm not familiar with the packaging because I always repackage it into little bricks and bring it around with me. I don't really do Kratom. I just like to show off that I have a suitcase full of it.
If Jay's going to get anything, Kratom, Rice Krispie Treats, Nesquik. It's all coming in kilos. It's coming in
kilos.
And then being bagged in little bags.
Can I get a kilo pounder sandwich, please?
Would you like the grande or the venti? Yeah. How much is a kilo?
I'll take a kilo chai latte, please. Yo Kratom is absolutely amazing. I've got several friends who order directly from Yo Kratom, and it's just they can't talk about it enough, about how high quality the Kratom is. Support Yo Kratom as they support us, home of the $60 kilo. That's YoKratom.com. All right, let's get back into it.
Did you see the comedian? This is fucking pretty funny. You guys are going to like this. It went viral. And she was in a movie theater in the AMC theater in California, and the screen stopped working. Like, I guess, or they couldn't get the projector to work.
So she got up. I didn't watch this video.
Oh, I haven't watched it. I saw.
She just started doing her act.
Yeah, I heard about this and never.
Dude, it's so fucking.
Oh, let's watch it. Let's watch a little of it.
Yeah, somebody put together a compilation which makes her look like an absolute lunatic, which is the fucking best part of all. But
Yeah, I remember the story being out, and I saw it. And
I started following her on Instagram because I thought it was just such a fuck. To be honest with you, I think it's kind of ballsy to fucking do, whether she's prepared it's to do it or not.
I don't know if ballsy is the right word. It's somewhere in the family.
Well, actually, you should watch it before you give your opinion.
No. I'm not going to do that because I'm going to give my opinion first on the idea of doing this is because I've been doing comedy for 23 years now, and without 24, and without a doubt, if the thing went down
and the friend was like, dude, get up.
Yeah, to get up and do comedy. I'd go fuck you. Are you nuts? Even if they were like, this looks like it's your audience. I go, I'm not that guy, dude. I don't want to make a scene in a movie theater. No, I'm good.
Dougie, man. I'm kind of that guy. And I would never in a million fucking years. I'm getting uncomfortable thinking about it.
Now, here's the thing. I might be, depending on my level of friends there or whatever, like be allowed funny voice in the place, but you're never gonna see all eyes on me while I'm holding
court. it's a very different thing to try to like get a line out or something like that, like if like a guy was trying to fix the screen and you yell something that makes the room like the class clown type thing is very different than getting up there and being like, so I'm walking down the street the other day, and you guys ever have this happen to you? Oh, yeah, okay. You guys,
first of all, I'm too dirty. You're too dirty, Jay. Dave, you're too political. You'd have to, like Mark Norman could technically get up and do his act and probably murder in a movie theater. Sam Morrell, these guys who do, like, really good, like, just jokey jokes.
Sure,
right? That relatable. Like, Joe List can go up and fucking do 10 movie theater jokes in a row that are going to fucking, they'll love Bargatze. Bargatze is too laid back.
Wouldn't work. Like he needs like almost you to like be quiet.
You got
to
be there for him.
It's
Todd Barry couldn't do this.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's right. Like they need you to almost like to like lull you into their rhythm, which you can't. So
Mad Dog, James Mattern could do it.
He could
murder it. Yeah,
he could do it.
So here's the thing. The reason I say it's ballsy is because I wouldn't do it. I think, and if I had a comedian, if I was with a group of comedians at the movies, and that happened. And we all were like, dude, somebody get up and do it. And
no, it's definitely ballsy.
I would respect, no matter how good or bad that person did, I would respect whichever comedian I was ballsy enough to get up and do that.
I would cringe the whole way they were walking up there. Like, I'd just be so uncomfortable that they were even doing it.
But
I can't say it's not. I can't say it's not ballsy because I would never do it, and I would never do it because I'm scared to. So if someone else does it, you're like, ah, shit.
But you have to look at the thing. It's not, if someone's a lunatic, they're not ballsy. And this borders.
they could be a ballsy lunatic.
This borders more. No, they're not being ballsy. They have no idea what being ballsy is.
Feel that. Yeah.
I ended up watching this girl.
So I'm going to watch it, but I'm saying my early opinion is why is it? I don't know if ballsy is the right word.
Well, I also do feel like.
This to me more is white bitch shit more than it's ballsy.
Well, that's probably true. But I will say also that there's something. That part of like why I feel kind of like justified, and I'm not as dirty a comic as like you guys are, but I'm still I'm kind of edgy in what I do. Like I say shit that would offend fucking people, and does even in like regular comedy environments sometimes. But I always feel like, and with this show and everything, I always feel like the justification there is almost like, look, this is a space for what we do. Like if you are offended by Legion of Skanks, then like, I don't know, we're not happening to you. Don't seek out our podcast and download it or listen to it, you know?
Yeah.
And like, if you come to a comedy club,
you're forcing your comedy upon.
To go do that. If there's like kids there and stuff, if you're even saying something mildly inappropriate, I feel like you lose all of your, like your whole leg to stand on there is gone. Now
does it matter if it's a rated R movie though? It also could matter.
If there's no rated R movie.
I guess I
went on a deep dive on this whole thing, so I know what movie it was.
was it a rated R movie?
It was a movie. It was a comedy movie. Fuck,
because I went on a deep dive about this, so I know all the details. What was the movie?
Was it Dog? Was it Channing Tatum's movie Dog?
No. If you guys said
Lost City.
There we go. So.
It's a rock.
It's like a horseshit like comedy movie. I forget who's in it. But Yeah, so I don't even know. I've watched her, like, I since have watched. Actually, I just thought she was hot in the video, and then I went. I was like, oh, let me go see how hot she is. And then she's like a fucking mom. She's just, she looks great in the video, though. Not that she's not, you know, I'm sure she's going to hear this and be like, they're harassing me. It's like, no, you're fucking hot, lady. Leave us alone. Fucking, we didn't say you're not hot. Fucking crazy.
Please don't start a beef with the type of chick who will just do stand up unprompted in a movie.
Oh, my God. We're not ready for that.
That's who I want to fight with.
Jesus. Please, lady. Lady.
This chick will organize.
We said you're brave.
You're brave and hot and dumb.
We said you were brave, and then Jay made an argument that you weren't technically brave due to temporary insanity. And he did make a pretty strong case for it, but yeah. I still.
And from what I understand, you're not fat. So there.
No, she's pretty hot, but she looks, you know, she's a mom. Moms can be hot.
Sure.
So you see that she looks like a young Puerto Rican chick right there, right?
So right here, Lewis was like, this might be my next girlfriend.
Yeah, dude, she might be coming to Jamaica with me.
Oh, dude, LA sucks.
Good. So, I am a single mom. Do we have any single moms in the house? Take them to Ashland and spread them near Pismo Beach and Lake Tahoe and whatever's left over, I want you to put in your dad's coffee grinder. I feel like all the moms in NorCal thought I was a stripper because anybody hear tattoos? So I actually like to give advice to people.
Oh my Jesus. Christ.
Jesus was never married. He could have been dropping off the kids for a week and have been like, here's your dead fish, bitch. I want to help.
This compilation is brutal.
How long did she do?
Dude, the compilation's 1:40.
I know. Like 10 minutes, it's one line at a time.
Oh. This is why I say it's brave, because nobody's even laughing. She's just fucking.
Well, you also like the bowling on top of like the shit I was saying before. You also you lose like almost everything to the normalcy of doing comedy. So like, there's no like etiquette now. Like, if someone wants to just talk over you the whole fucking time, you can't even be like. Like, you're not right, and they're not wrong.
If somebody heckles, she can't. You're here's, and it reminds me of this. When I used to do a lot of bar shows as a young comedian, where there'd be like, you know, 8 o'clock the show would start, and then they turn off the games that were on the TV.
So this is like this comedy sports show. Bar. They have no
and
idea.
People were just, they had no idea. Most of the people were at the bar, sitting at the bar watching the game, and then you're dropped upon them, and now you're doing your comedy, which at the time, like, you know, I wasn't very good at comedy. So I'm doing my brand of horseshit comedy. I'm like, dude, I want to watch the fucking Yankees. What the fuck is going on right now?
Yeah, it's like when that guy at the bar starts heckling you or something, it's a very different thing than someone walking into a comedy club, paying a cover charge, going and sitting down and then heckling you. You know, it's just different. It's like, dude, you
don't
didn't,
get me wrong.
Dude, me and Davey did a bar in Albany, New York one time that not only did they turn off, they wouldn't turn off the TVs.
Oh, dude, this is like 15 years ago.
But then also,
yes.
Yeah, but then also a fucking bar crawl. It was like a main destination of a organized bar crawl.
You guys played SantaCon?
You were
the it was dudes, crazy. They, basically, yeah, we did.
They're doing a bar crawl. So all these like crazy excited energy, you know, drunks come in there. They leave the TVs on at the bar. So now you're in a competition. It's almost like a 50-50 equal of like who's interrupting who.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're interrupting our comedy show, but we're also interrupting them enjoying the game.
And their bar crawl that was organized to be at this place. Like, the bar was in on it. It was one of the destinations of this. Like, everyone's wearing different colored shirt, you know, teams with shirts. Some kind of thing. And it was like, I remember it dominated the room completely. And like, yeah, they don't care. Like, when a club.
But we came out of there with $400 to split. So
that. If you do a show, though, and like the. Right away, the places are not turning. They will not sacrifice turning off televisions for your comedy show. They don't care about you.
Yeah, how much do you need that money?
It's unbelievable. Play the video still.
I'm like, if that can get Tina Turner away from Ike Turner, that can get me out of my one bedroom into a house in the hills.
I love her.
Dude, that's so mean to just cut that without giving
them. That's what this is about. There's no context. It's just psychotic. And this is what's fucked up to her, right? Because she actually could have been doing good, to be honest with you. We don't know. It's just edited to just out of context, psychotic rambling.
This girl in the picture here in the front foreground is like, is this bitch losing her fucking mind in front of us? Dude, I bet. Can I tell you something? I bet it wasn't way less wacky than this looks.
No, did you watch the whole unedited thing? Lewis?
I couldn't find the unedited thing, but I did watch this. People applaud and are into it at the end. There are. It's not like people are like, get the fuck off the stage. So to be honest with you, Yeah, it's to be honest with you, I think they were probably bored, and that's more interesting than just sitting there eating popcorn while you're waiting for the movie.
Oh, I would have clapped. If I was there, I would have clapped.
I would have fucking cheered her on, dude.
Yeah, keep going.
Look at that body. It's tweet. I would have tried to get with her.
Yeah. Talk about the Oscars.
Usually when I sing that song, white people are...
Oh, my fuck.
Listen.
Put us out of our misery.
She's losing the crowd.
Pause it. She knows somebody heckled there. Somebody goes, put us out of our misery. And then she goes back at them, which I appreciate.
Sure.
She's like, do I come down to your job? And
yes, I work here.
Yeah, do I go to your movie theater and do my job there? Oh, yeah. I guess I am doing that. Hey, I don't come to where you work and slap the dicks out of your mouth. He goes, I'm actually an usher here. I need to stop.
You need to stop now.
You're not allowed to do this. That'd have been the best heckle. Hey, I don't think you're allowed to do this.
You are raping our ears, please.
Oh, my Christ.
That's so funny. Good.
You want to come down here and try to entertain people? What you're trying to do?
But there's no, that's such a weird thing to respond
I know.
With.
Do you want to try to do this? Because no.
No one needs
to do this.
I'm saying that no one should do that.
The default understanding in everyone
you're
else's mind was
what
that
I'm
no
saying
one would
right
be doing
now.
This. No one should be doing this.
I'd rather watch trivia word scrambles.
That projector wasn't working.
Oh, the projector wasn't working. She goes, sir, there's no jumbo word scrambles. Just eat your fucking weird pretzel bites and shut the fuck up, okay?
Okay. I'm living my dream.
I'm living my dream up here. Do you want to come down here and try? No.
Oh, fuck.
I have no interest.
It's such a weird thing. Do you want to come down here and try doing this? Is always like the presumption is that someone has to. So like, do you?
It's like getting eggs thrown at your house. And the person's like, stop. And they go, oh, I'm sorry. Do you want to throw eggs at your own house? You want to come here and put the effort in.
Oh, you think you have better aim? Come on down.
Oh, you would have hit all windows? Okay. Let's see, big man.
Go ahead.
This girl's not been interested at all.
Yeah.
With the way the reds with the hoop earrings.
Something. I never thought I would see like a racist Asian. Sometimes people get jealous if they haven't been through as many things as you. So this is an
what's her crate now? She sucks. Whatever those movements are that she's doing. Yeah, she sidesteps a bunch. Do you think she's constantly having things thrown at her when she does comedy? She's always prepared for that.
Well, I watched some of her like regular set and she's fine. You know, she's like I'm assuming a pretty young comic or whatever, but she's not, it's not like as crazy. I think honestly, she's probably fucking, it's just nerve wracking. Like whatever's going on, like it's fucking just this bonkers.
Girl, this girl should be a flight attendant on a Southwest Airlines.
Dude, they stopped, you know what they stopped doing? What? Except having fun, like produced videos on airlines once COVID hit. Remember, like every airlines was starting to have they started producing like awesome music videos for like how to put the thing on and sure. Fucking do we ever talk about that on the show?
Oh, the kids busting it open sometimes for like the robot voice.
Damn, well, yeah, the whole fucking dude, it's the best. It's the best. And that sort of ended with COVID. Like flying is no
I never really
fun.
Thought it was the best.
Put your mask on, nothing's fucking going on fun here. Do you guys want to come up here and entertain this flight the whole time? Sit down.
Sit down. Go ahead and play it. Finish it.
They haven't been through as many things as you. So this is an offer that I wrote. Actually did it the other night at the Laugh Factory and they loved it.
Yo. What a fuck. Someone should have bounced a can of soup off her head. Oh God, she's working.
So she's like in
Dave,
the room now.
Dave, yo, fuck this chick. This is the dude. Do you remember the? You remember Dave, the fucking Fred Armisen one man show. Daddy, are you gonna come back? By the time I was 14 years old, I learned everything I was need to know about loss. He goes, and all the reviews were like, he kept bothering the audience with it. And dude, what she's doing right now, let me tell you, all I can speak on is that if she was walking in my direction in a thing, the feeling I would have inside is, talking about fear, it would be heart palpitating, sweaty fear that I have to interact with this psycho and be nice. But you have to be nice. I'll be nice. I will organically be nice, and I will fucking, when she's coming, I go, please. Oh my God, Christina, this is why I said we should have left when she started. This is the thing. Like
Jay would make Christine try to have a threesome with her.
Well, yeah, but that's unrelated to the feeling.
Unrelated. Yeah. That's how we're getting goobers.
It's because they're like forcing you into this moment of publicly being a phony.
Yes.
Like, I hate that. It's like I now have to, in front of everybody, like smile as if I appreciate this or something. Like, it's like I like, please just don't make me be that person.
Yo, if a magician asked me to come to the stage, I would about face and run out of the theater. Hey, this guy right here looks like he wants to help. No, no, I don't want to.
All right, good play.
Not to have the baby.
Yeah. I'm on TikTok. I'm also a psychic medium on the side.
Oh, she said I'm also a psychic medium on the side. All right, she's crazy.
I believe that's true. Listen, I believe that's true. I believe she's not kidding. She thinks she's a psychic medium on the side.
She got a good a good reaction when she said she was done.
Yeah, she didn't know. Look, I think she, here's the thing. Out of context, I think if you take the worst moments of like even a good stand-up special, I think you can make them look like ramblings of a psychopath. You know what I'm saying? So I, benefit of the doubt, I will say the people did clap at the end, and I do give her credit for fucking having the balls to do it. Like, legitimately, especially not being like, and if it was Patton Oswalt, I'd be like, oh, that's crazy. Patton Oswalt entertained a movie theater while he was out with friends, and you know, it's like he's such a pro that it's not really that like ballsy. I'm saying you're such a pro too, Jay, but I would be like, damn, you're ballsy, Jay. And Pat Oswalt also has the fact that he's very, very famous and everyone would know who he is. And like,
well, I'll tell you what I hate most about this lady now is her psychic medium line. Cause I believe she believes that's true. And she may be the first person. She may be the first person. Well, here's the thing. She might be the first person that says it where I might believe she is, other than saying it's her side hustle. Because this is what, you know, our friend Michelle did a TV show with a psychic one time, or a musical with a psychic one time that she really believed. He's a psychic to the stars, this guy.
Scam.
It's a complete scam. And the thing of it, it's always that. So, when Michelle asked me, why do you not believe in it at all? Why do you not think it's possibly real? I go, because it would consume your life. It's the only thing you would ever talk about.
But by the way, it's an
utter thing of you're talking to the dead. I don't, it's like, it's fucking just crazy.
Everywhere. You'd throw
And then you go, I do comedy randomly.
Your 12th birthday, you would have already killed yourself as a child.
Of course. You'd be like, I'm haunted by terrible visions of things and the dead it's people that want to talk to me.
That whole world of being a medium is like, it's a known scam. Like there are methods that they use in order to scam you. You know, I just watched an okay movie. It was just okay.
Yeah.
And it was about a guy who, it was who the fuck was it? He works for the circus, and he learns how to become like a medium. And then he like links up with a fucking therapist and they start scamming people out of their money. But they go into like the intricacies of like how he like scams people. And it's like an old carnival tricks, you know?
Yeah.
But
there's a great documentary. There's a great documentary called An Honest Liar about the amazing Ricky, who was a magician who used to expose all the people who said that, like the mediums. And I can tell.
Oh, really?
Tell me
what that is. I'll watch that.
It's a great documentary.
I don't know. I think you guys are crazy. I just talked to my dead uncle last week.
Yeah, you tell me that I'm lying. But that's what I'm saying. First, I'm a psychic medium on the side. Like, you're either a crazy or a deplorable person. That's what I'm saying. So maybe her life is so skitzed out by talking to the dead that she's like, she was like, when her friend was like, I don't know, don't go up there and do your comedy. You're going to embarrass us. And a dead person went, do it.
Yeah. Dude, it was Rick James.
Get up there and do it. Yeah, shut up, Bob Saget. Fucking absolutely wild, man. Yeah. Absolutely wild. Also, we never got
to the part where T.I. confronts her.
Where's T.I. get up there? What's her actual comedy? Is it that jumping around?
No, it's just like, it's, you know, I don't want to. Here's the thing. I feel bad, like, she's not, I don't think this is a bad person. I feel bad, like, trashing her, like, actual comedy.
Oh, this is just a person.
That is.
No, that's that different because it's a thing.
That's a public thing. That's like, well, you know, it's like, we can sit here and look at any young comedian.
No. You said you watched her comedy already. I'm
yeah, it was whatever. It wasn't like, but it wasn't bad. I wasn't like, oh my God.
I'm saying, is it that like,
I don't think so.
Animated.
It didn't stand out to me as like a crazy person doing comedy.
By the way, she could explain all this. I walk away from all this thinking with no judgments of her whatsoever. If she was like, oh, dude, I was tanked when I went to that thing. I was fucking on one.
Like, dude, she's like, I took a bump of ketamine and then I was just up there.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, well, then you did all right. Hell yeah. Pretty good shit.
Yeah.
All right, real quick, let's talk about one of our awesome sponsors over here at the Legion of Skanks. And, of course, that is rockauto.com. Yeah, rock. We got to get a guitar riff for that. Rockauto.com has been in business for 20 years, and they make it very easy to find the parts you need at the best possible prices. It doesn't matter. You could even be a no-car knowledge person like myself, maybe a no-car driving person like Dave altogether. But either
or maybe
way,
a person like Lewis who damages a new piece of his car every single day.
Absolutely. How many times is this guy going to have to rebuy his Yosemite Sam back off mud flaps? I'll never know.
Lewis has saved $1 million already by going to rockauto.com.
$1 million even. They put a placard up of him. It doesn't matter if you're a mechanic or just a person working on your own car or you work in an auto shop. It's the same pricing for everybody. And rockauto.com prices are so amazing, there's no promo code needed. You don't have to remember a whole promo code or anything. The prices are already that good. So when you order, if you can make sure to tell rockauto.com you heard about them on Legion of Skanks, it helps them know that their advertising is working. And again, it's rockauto.com. Find your car parts today. All right, let's get back into it. And you wanted to, did you see, you guys haven't seen Barclays TI yet?
No, I don't even know what this is.
Who, by the way,
Tony Roberts, he started bombing, right? Yeah.
Tony Roberts closed that thing and killed Tony Roberts.
So wait, this is at the Barclays Center?
Yeah. So again,
so they're doing a comedy show.
Yes. Yeah, so April Fool's 105.1 or whatever, like the rap station's comedy.
It was a comedy show. I thought it was a concert that he came out.
Big comedy show. No.
Who else was on it?
Big comedy show. I said Tony Roberts was closing it. Rip Michaels, Nick Cannon, a bunch of people. A whole lot of comedy. You can find the poster for it, Bobby.
So he just started bombing.
And he went out there and did comedy, and he's in New York, and...
Oh yes, I want to see not,
this. This is the best thing. This is the best thing about New York.
A white guy starts booing him, and he hates that.
Oh, the best thing about New York. It's yeah. The best thing about New York is that this is the city that celebrity doesn't buy you much. You don't really see celebrities getting mobbed walking down the street, right? You'll get people going like, "Oh shit, right there!" Like, you know, tourists.
LA somehow
is.
There's the one place where like you'll get mobbed if you're a celebrity in New York is Times Square.
Yeah, where's no New
tourists from everywhere else.
New Yorkers have like you can walk
down. You can walk down the streets in Brooklyn and like fucking celebrities aren't going to get mobbed. Yeah, it is a great thing about New York.
Sal Vacano, I walked through a casino with him in Las Vegas, and it was like the Beatles. Like there was a crowd of people, and he was like, "Dude, you got to keep moving." Like he told me, he was like, "Dude, if we don't move, it'll all be surrounded, and like they'll start pulling at me."
I went to a grocery store in the Poconos, and it was a problem.
Yeah. Oh, for Sal.
With Sal, with Sal.
Yeah, I believe it. So he was like, Jay was just grabbing everything and taking it off the shelves. Jay was a problem in the grocery store.
That was a real problem there.
Yeah, so, but in New York, Sal, we walked down the street with Sal and nobody will give a fuck. There's an attitude of almost like, yeah, all right, whatever, you're a fucking celebrity, who cares? What else you got?
Bring it on, bitch.
All right, so let's see this TI thing. I'm interested in this.
There's a couple angles of it.
Sitting there with my family. For the first shot of tequila of the day. You know what I'm saying? And I see a motherfucker in my commercial.
Pause it. There's nothing worse than not only bombing, but bombing to a large cavernous room.
Yeah.
Oh my God. When they show you the audience, you're going to be like, God damn, dude. It's a packed Barclays Center. Yeah. But he's also.
But you ever done like a theater show that's just like, I mean, you know,
yeah.
I haven't done that he's many faking, theater shows.
He's faking confidence, which is what you kind of have to do, but like he just doesn't have any of the skills for this yet.
And there's a lot of black people there. Black people can smell fake confidence. It's actually a thing. They have a sense.
Yeah.
doing shit like this.
That's that's also, a by the way, response he's a, already he's also just wave the, it off. Not, don't heckle right now, actually.
Well, here's the thing. He's done open mics and some shows and jumped on like famous comedians club shows and shit and everything. First of all, just generally speaking, I'm doing comedy constantly. If I did go out for the Barclay Center, I'd be like, man, all right, that's like a big, it's a different kind of animal to control. And he has done that with music. That's why he believed he could, but he's putting subtlety into jokes here that couldn't possibly.
Yeah, you just can't. Yeah, you can't really do like the same type of comedy you can do in a comedy club in this type of environment, that which is number one. And then the thing that's kind of interesting about it is that for any normal comic, right, like is, you were kind of getting at, the thing that'd be there is like if you were just like he's at a point in comedy where for me, what's he been doing it less than a year? Something like that?
Probably a couple of years. No, okay. No.
I think it's less than a year he's been doing stand-up for. So you're still at that point for me, my heart was still racing to go up at a comedy club. Like just like a regular comedy set, you'd still be like, okay, I'm good. And then to throw you in the Barclay Center, you'd be like, I literally just have a panic attack
or
something.
You told me this on the road this past weekend. He was like, the show would be starting and Jay would wish that something would go wrong so he wouldn't have to get up.
But then like you afterward, you're like very glad you did, or like, you know what I mean?
And then especially if it goes like well, and you're like,
then you just want to do it again. And
well, it's fucking nerve. The unknown, the bombing is one of the worst feelings in the world. So the
especially young nerve, especially
nerve wracking fucking feeling of like, oh God.
Well, you're not validated yet. You're like, I don't know if I'm good at this. Really.
Yeah. So if you've been doing comedy for a long time and you bomb, it sucks to fucking bomb, but you have like, you know, if you have a decade of like the shows that have gone really good, it's like, you're like, oh, I'm a comedian and whatever. It's a rough one tonight. But when you bomb, when you're 3 months into doing comedy, you're like, I shouldn't be doing this. Like everything falls apart in your mind. But anyway, my point is that for T.I., like he has none of the like nerves of walking out to the Barclay Center, because he's walked out in front of crowds like that a million times before. Sure. So it's like that he's more desensitized to that type of thing. But then to get out there and start doing comedy and it's going really bad, it must bring all that back, like in the moment.
Oh,
you'd be like, oh, fuck.
Right there, exactly. This is how bad it could go.
This sucks.
It's happening. It's happening, and I'm not going to get them back. Like he does know he doesn't have the skill to turn that around.
Yeah.
Oh, keep playing it because he starts getting into it with one dude.
Yeah. I don't know. It's for this video.
Is that you? My worst thing I guess it is.
Yeah. It's the other video. Whatever the subtlety of this joke is, it's like, get to the punchline, man. Like, skip past a few of these descriptions.
Oh, my favorite quote of it is when he goes, well, goddamn. When at one point they start booing, he goes, well, goddamn.
A while ago, he was about 10, 11 years old, man. I think this is where the animosity started. The nigga walks in, comes slamming his mom. You hear me? Nailing his mom. We ain't been the same since.
The whole point of that joke was that he was 11 and he was fucking his friend's mom.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
We ain't been the same since.
Look at that. I'm going to tell you how motherfucking that is.
You gave that one nothing.
All those camera phones are just filming him eat shit.
He starts doing the thing. Oh, man, he starts doing the thing you would do in a club. He just starts going. It's like, damn, that one usually works.
I did this one at the Laugh Factory last night.
I did this one at a movie theater the other day. Crushed.
Dude, you imagine bombing that hard and seeing that many cell phones out on you?
Like, oh, so this is gonna live forever, huh?
You know, it's disrespecting a comedian to pull out your cell phone.
Where are them Dave Chappelle bags at, y'all? Y'all lied, said you left your phone in the car.
Jeez.
Motherfucking
one clap is hilarious. Find the other one, Bobby. There's another one still where he tells the white guy he'll accept it from the black people booing him, but he ain't gonna accept it from him. And the guy just goes, boo.
Yeah, dude. He's just sitting there with a big smile on his face. It's the best. He
couldn't be happier.
It's awesome.
And T.I. is just like, yo, if this was a concert, that guy would be stomped out already.
I mean, are people just saying T.I. sucks because he sucks, right? Why am I not hearing more people talk about how much T.I. actually sucks?
What do you mean, his comedy?
As a human, obviously.
Oh, I don't know. Listen, I don't know to know if he sucks. What I would say is,
no. He's, what do you mean,
handling this all wrong?
Hold on. You could tell if he's handling good shit like a shitty human. How do you think he's handling bad shit? He's also been to prison.
Like a great human. I believe in equilibrium.
I'm just saying, like, I don't know why more people aren't calling T.I. out for being what seems to be a shitty human being that should not be involved in comedy. He's a bully and a thug.
Yeah, well, that's what it's turning out to be. I think there's a shot.
I was saying the thing before
I got cut off when I was about Ellis. I'm like, Ellis is starting comedy, but he's like, I will show up for any show, any guest spot, any, you know what I mean? He's like, I want to figure this out, and I don't Ellis think isn't, I'm good, you know, at it yet.
Fucking doesn't have $20 million in the bank, so it's a little different.
Good.
Sorry, but here's what Ellis gets, is he understands self-deprecation. Because he's been in radio for so long, entertainment for so long, he understands it's not a joke to say, I was fucking this kid's mom. Like, it's just not even a joke. There's nothing funny about it.
T.I. could have murdered in the Def Jam era of comedy pretty easily by just going out there and telling his big dick fucking bitches and whatever rap stories. Yeah,
humping a stool and fucking all that shit.
But they're just like, they're looking for something, and he just got very basic jokes that he's telling in a very basic way. This is it.
Goddamn gas station. If she come back out that goddamn gas station and say them seats weren't heated, Mad Back Tooth got something to say, smell like a dead body in his mouth when he opened it. I will tell you that. Hey, listen, man, you ain't been here. Gentrification just started about 8 years ago. You just got here. I ain't gonna allow this from you. All my niggas, I'll take it from you, sir. I will not allow it. I will not allow it.
And by the way, he's trying to be funny in defense of him. He's not. He's just trying to sacrifice the white guy. Because he even says, I will not allow it. You know, he's like trying to be funny.
I'll say this even a little bit further. Just like technically, as a comedian in this situation, given what he has in his tool belt and given the situation, it's not the worst move to try. Because the goal that the crowd is like majority black. He goes, oh, if I can turn him on, that's like the best shot he had.
Sure.
At kind of getting the crowd back on his side and against this guy, not the worst shot.
Him going over and grabbing his booze, like his cup of booze,
is the comfortability.
Well, that's the thing that made me laugh, dude. Jason Andors used to have a bit that made me laugh so hard because I think it would all relate to the situation when you're just outnumbered, kind of thing. And it was about going to meet he was dating a black girl in the projects, and when he started walking up to the projects, do you remember this at all, Lewis? He was like, they were out there throwing eggs at him and shit. And he goes, but they threw so many eggs at a point that you couldn't run. Like, he just sit there and just stand there going like, yeah, I don't bring it on. I love eggs. Give me more egg. And that's what he's kind of like. He's like, yeah, another day at the office. He's just trying. It's such a fake. But you know, inside, I have to believe, especially with his ego, like, his insides are shivering right now.
Oh, he's terrified. And that grabbing the drink is like a comfort move where he doesn't know what to do with his hand. He's fucking uncomfortable and he just wants to be grounded to something and grab onto something. That's all like body language, fucking uncomfortability.
His hand was in his pocket earlier.
No. Hand in the pocket. If my hand's ever in my pocket on stage, just know I'm uncomfortable. One hand in the pocket for me is my uncomfortable tell.
I've noticed that.
Have you?
I have. Do you know where I noticed it last time?
Where?
Genuinely, was it the cellar night where I think you were exhausted?
No, it was probably uncomfortable.
But you were exhausted in the back. I almost like woke you up to go on stage.
Oh, yeah.
And when you were on stage, you had your hand in your pocket. I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like,
no, I was just drunk that night. I don't count that one because I was pretty comfortable that night.
I just noticed your hand in your pocket before.
You got to think for this T.I. dude, too, like the type of guy who's like, oh, you know, that kind of like braggadocious hood thing, and then the guy who's going to tell the joke about how he's fucking some dude's mom, like just that mentality.
Yeah, of course.
That guy does not like to have a horrific bomb. Like, that's just not, you know what I mean? Like, the guy who doesn't even want to look bad in the joke that he's delivering to you definitely doesn't want to eat a dick on a huge show like this.
But I think, you know, it's like Steve-O is been doing comedy now for like fucking 10 years. You know what I mean? And it was interesting to watch his growth in the thing. He had a lot of stories in the beginning that where he lacked the self-deprecation. It was like, you know, they were great stories, but they're stories you like high five your boys over more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's learned like the, you know, he understood self-deprecation from doing Jackass. Do you know what I mean? Like basically a self-harm, actually.
Yeah. It's like, it's another level of self-deprecation where you're willing to physically deprecate yourself for the enjoyment of others. Like, that's like,
so I think he picked it up. I think he got it. Like,
yeah, well, you know, that is, it is a thing. Like, you know, also because I think what people are first doing stand-up, even if you're a performer, even if you're famous, there's something more vulnerable about doing stand-up. And so like people deal with the insecurity of that by trying to be braggadocious. Like you see this in like young comics sometimes. But even if you look at like Kevin Hart is like the biggest comic in that like world.
Sure.
And everything he does is always like he got that. Like from right away that it's like what's funny is like I'm teeny. And he's probably, the truth is like, he makes himself a pussy and like afraid to fight in all of his jokes. He makes himself like a terrible athlete.
He knows how to throw hands.
I think it's much more true.
That's a great point though, because that's a fucking really
in every
point.
Bit. He's terrified of the physical.
The reality is he started off and Jay, I'm assuming Kevin Hart wasn't actually a tough guy growing up in Philly.
No,
but not a pussy. Probably if some shit went down, would, you know, handle
not
himself.
A pussy. Not a pussy.
Like,
at all,
most,
yeah.
Like most people just grew up in the hood would. But he actually became pretty athletic. He's ripped. Obviously, he sees personal trainers, boxes. Like, you see him hitting pads. He's actually really good.
Yeah,
But there's nothing funny about being a good fighter.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. What's funny is being a pussy, or, you know, when you see him in the movie with The Rock, because I watch him. He's done a few of them now at this point, but he does the Jumanji films with him.
Yeah.
It's like, that's the whole bit, is that, like, he's, like, you know, a little terrified guy, and The Rock is his big fucking scary, you know, tough guy. But yeah, it's interesting to point that out, because it's without a doubt a deliberate thing that he recognizes. And, you know, I'm sure it's hard to even do. It's like, even like it's unrelatable when guys start making money, and it's like, you know, you look at Gaffigan, who's been a millionaire for like fucking 25 years, right? He's like a very, very, maybe not that long, but at least 20 years. He's been like one of the top paid comedians on the road, you know, and everything is about him being sort of like, you know, a loser or an idiot or like not really knowing. And like, he doesn't really talk about how he's like probably lives in a fucking ridiculous place and drives.
People
really
relate.
Nice
people relate to their losses, man. Very few people relate to your wins. Everyone relates to your losses. Not the exact ones, but everyone relates to like losing and feeling not good.
And not just
much more than they relate to like, I got a big old dick and split. That
no, it's true.
Open.
But in addition to like relating to it, it's just like it's just not funny. Like, there's just nothing hilarious. There's nothing like hilarious about a story where like Kevin Hart's like, you know, some dude like approached me to fight, and I was like, okay, well, I'm not a pussy, and so we fought, and I fucking won.
Some
there's nothing funny
some
about
people
that
figure
story.
It out.
But like a grown man running away is funny.
But here's the thing: it's also there's character to it. So that's what I think a lot of people lost, was that in like the '90s Def Comedy Jam era, there was character. I mean, Chris Tucker was a character. Now, he had all that, you know what I mean? Like, kind of cocksure bravado. Talent had all that, but it was almost done in like they had like a stage persona almost. Mm. You know what I mean? Dice Clay was always bad, like how great it was. He just played a stupid guy character, which is why people accepted it. And the problem with these celebrity, like T.I. doing comedy is, because here's the tell of all of it. He'd be misled right now. If he did a comedy tour of clubs, say he was going to do comedy clubs, he would get booked all around the country as much as he wanted to get booked. And because people will sell out those shows that first time around because they want to see the train wreck. Some people might be pleasantly surprised, but most people will accept a train wreck or think it was just kind of boring, and no one comes back a second time. That's a problem. That's like, that's the thing you see that like clogs up space. Do you know what I mean? Rather, you know, was it Christine pointed out about like Sal is a good example. That Sal could have done a special 7 years ago.
Yeah.
On the whatever biggest platform he wanted to do it. He wanted to like get his comedy tight where he felt comfortable to do it. And
Sal's a good example, I think, of the best way the absolute best way that a famous person could start doing stand-up. Because he, number one, like, was really humble about it. Number two, he was a really big fan of
great,
like,
comedy.
Of great comedy. Like, he loves everybody. He was like, Sal would, like, fucking come when, if I was at a club with Sal, when he first started doing comedy, he'd come down and, like, watch my set. He'd watch everybody's set. He'd be really interested in, like, what everyone was doing. And, like,
fuck. Yeah, if you have,
he
if
really
you have
respected good- it, even though you're talking about a situation where, like, I was like a guy at the time. I mean, I was a guy making like $30,000 a year, and Sal was a multimillionaire, and he'd be coming downstairs to like watch a joke and be like, oh dude, that's really funny. I really like the way you do that. And it's like, there's a different type of thing there. Like humility there to ever, it's very difficult for a man who's a multimillionaire to ever put himself in that situation. You know what I mean? Where you're just several levels above them in the world of success. And so like, that was something like, I remember thinking about that. I was like, oh, that's really cool that he's approaching it.
He's
that
also
way.
Organically hilarious. And more than that, even, he's organically hilarious in presentation. That's also a big thing. I've met a lot of some, to me, I would say some of like the funniest people in my life ever are someone who's never even thought about doing anything comedy. Which when you go back and like, oh, this guy used to say the funniest shit, this buddy of mine, he just didn't like, he never learned how to present it as people. So Sal's got that already too.
Yeah, he had like, that. He naturally had that going. Like if you look at the roast we did for you,
yeah.
Right. Like he just, even though he wasn't writing roast jokes, he just did a really funny thing there because he kind of got what, like, okay, I get that this will be a funny way to present this and shit.
Yeah, and what he is, he knows like what his what he represents there. So
he's just like, the best. Anyway, I'm going to ask him to borrow money later, but he's just the best.
But yeah, well, good luck, T.I. You have an open slot at Skankfest. I think I speak for the group. T.I., you're welcome to perform at Skankfest.
Gilbert Gottfried died. It would only be fitting.
There's a slot.
Yeah, that sucks.
It does suck.
But we got T.I.
But we got T.I. now. Window closes, door opens. another great show, fellas, on the Zoom. I'm not going to be there Monday for Skanks, but Skanks will be at the stand.
Yeah, we will have a live show, special guests, surprise guests.
Fuck
and it's gonna be a lot of fun. So
I will miss it, unfortunately, but I'll be on the Zoom, and we'll catch you guys then on Legion of Skanks. Until then, peace.
You've been listening to the Legion of Skanks podcast with Big J Okerson.
A lazy-eyed albino.
Cry for me. Come on. Cry.
I'm a shepherd of shitheads.
Luis Gomez.
Luis J. Gomez, you motherfucker.
Luis J. Gomez.
If you look at me, I'm going to break your fucking jaw. I want to punch you in your fucking nose. May I punch Uncle Magic in his fucking head.
And comedian Dave Smith.
Fuck you, I ain't got jokes.
I feel like if I wanted to be gay,
fucking stick your fist up your ass. You have lube.
The Legion of Skanks podcast.
Yo, ding dong, we're done here. Time to go.